Talking with TD.
Touchdown Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, Teron.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. My. It's Eagles week, man. Getting to go home. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Man, I put the cart before the horse right there talking about what week it is. Didn't even tell you who it is you're listening to, but that just lets you know how excited I am about getting to go back home, man. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to. But hey, nevertheless, we still got a show to do, man. Let's make this thing happen. Got David James over there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, right. That's right. We got Tim McManus, ESPN NFL Nation Eagles reporter, jumping on because why not? Who else will we have if we're talking Eagles football? And this is what we do each and every week, right? We go in the Rolodex, pull out one of my teammates, and bring on an NFL Nation guest. So we'll do that. And you always know we got that Run TMC going with Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. So those are always the features of the show. I will say this, though. This is a really exciting week for me, man. Obviously, going back home, getting to, you know, see the Titans play at Lincoln Financial Field, see the Eagles catch up with so many friends in the media, friends on the team. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, A.J. Brown will be the highlight. But, I mean, you know, from Lane Johnson to Brandon Graham to Jason Kelsey, I mean, there's a lot of guys on that team that I got cool with. So I can't wait for that. But before we do that, we have to understand that there is a game that we got to digest, and that's the Bengals game, the loss to Cincinnati Bengals. Few things that stood out to me. I mean, when you go 0-3 in the red zone and lose by 4 points, I mean, that's really where you could point to as a reason. And they have to get back to the more creative things in the red zone, right? You know, we've seen them in the past. With John Arthur Smith, right? With John O. Smith in the backfield, Derrick Henry lined up in the slot and just a swing pass to John O. You still got Henry on the team. Chigga Conquo is very similar in the ability to John O. Smith. So let's see those type of things. And I will say Todd Downing has gotten more creative. You see him working ways to get Treylon Burks the football, get Chigga Conquo the football as far as the play call itself. Now, is it always going to them? No, but you're starting to see that. I think you really have to get – this is a team, like, when they get into the red zone, they have to score because they don't score a lot of points. I mean, let's face the facts. The Titans, since the Raiders scored, 22 points in week three, they haven't allowed a team to have over 20 points. They should be better than 7-5, but they're having the struggles on offense. This past week was a good example of that. Because they couldn't get the ball in the end zone. I think when you look at some of the things that they tried to do, you know Treylon Burks is a combat catcher. Why not alley-oop? Throw the ball up there, back shoulder, let him go up and get the football. That's something that you have now. They did that in the past with A.J. Brown. I'm not saying Treylon Burks is A.J. Brown because, newsflash, he isn't. In fact, I compare Burks more to Alshon Jeffrey than A.J. Brown. Still a really good player. But he was another guy. I saw the Eagles use him in the red zone, the Bears in the red zone, getting him the football. So that's something that they have to get to. Ryan Tannehill is dealing with the ankle situation. That has kind of kept him from being as effective running the football. But, hey, man, he's still a threat. RPOs, get that in the mix as well. There's different things that they have to do. And I know the offensive line has been struggling, so it's a lot harder to expand the playbook because of how limited the protection has been. But RPOs is a quick-hitting type of thing. Back shoulders, three-step, throw it. Those are ways that you can help the offensive line. At the same time, the rushing attack has kind of dwindled, right? And that's something, you know, over the last three games. I mean, you talk about yards before contact. Derrick Henry, this past game, he carried the football an average of 0.8 yards before being hit. The week before, 0.9 yards before being hit. It can't happen, right? Whether it's Mike Hilton coming off the edge, whether it's, You know, the linebacker shooting the gaps with everything covered up front. The Titans are going to have to find a way to counter some of the looks that they're starting to get as far as, and it started with the Broncos. They're going to have to find a way to counter that bare front, you know, covering up that guard center, guard trio, and allowing the linebackers to just come free, and even the safeties too. And that's what happened in the game against the Bengals. 38 rushing yards for Derrick Henry, which was the lowest he's had since 2018. But they managed to pass the football. Ryan Tannehill, 291 yards passing. I love the play action pass to Treylon Burks. You saw Chigakonkwo get involved. Hooper, like they had some things going there, but the second half woes also. The Titans entering that week were averaging 5.6 yard points in the second half. That's 31st worst in the NFL. Can't win that way. And that's why you see this team going into halftime with a lead and coming out of it with the loss. It's happened in all four of their, well, three out of four of the losses. The Bills game, that's one of those ones you just pack it up nice and neat, you put it in a compartment, and you send it to Jupiter. Get that one up out of there. You're not going to learn anything from it. So the other games, though, I mean, we don't have to recount them. We know the other two, and then this one we saw. Joe Burrow and the rushing attack. You know, the Titans essentially got out-Titaned in this game. And the Bengals reestablished the line of scrimmage, you know, on defense. They were in the backfield constantly. And on offense, they got a good push, and they ran through tackles. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, I asked him if they were out physical, and he said we weren't getting thrown off the football, thrown off the line, pushed back off the line. I beg to differ, but, you know, it's just something that can't happen. And now, this week, you're spinning it too. And also the explosives. We have to get that too. The four explosive plays. Yes, Samaje Perine had one early, and then Travion Williams had one at towards the end, of kind of on that last drive. It was a third down. He had a 24-yard run. And then you had two from T. Higgins, one of which was a touchdown to put the Bengals ahead for good. So those are things too. But now you spin it to this week. Joe Burrow, 32 rushing yards that he had. Patrick Mahomes, I don't remember the numbers on Mahomes, but I remember him rushing for a touchdown to put them ahead in the fourth quarter. Yeah, Jalen Hurts is a little different. He's a little different. That guy runs with power. He's someone that they design runs for. In fact, I drew that up in Whiteboard Wednesday. We showed a way to get A.J. Brown yards after catch, but then in that same look, out of empty, they go to QB draw. So definitely check that out on ESPN.com, the Titans page. But it's a different thing when you're facing Jalen Hurts. And we'll start it off. Actually, we'll start off on a fun note because I got to talk to Tier Tard. He is a Philly guy, and he's going back home like I am. So ask him a little bit about, you know, going back to Philly, but also Jalen Hurts. That's what we ended with before the cheesesteak recommendation. So here's Tier Tard speaking cheesesteaks, Jalen Hurts.
I'm definitely going back to see my family, getting a cheesesteak.
That's it, getting a cheesesteak. What about playing at the link, man?
It's definitely going to be a blessing. You know, I grew up watching the Eagles every Tuesday. I mean, every day, every time they got on the screen, it's amazing. Like I remember when they won the Super Bowl. But, you know, I mean, I love to go out there and compete. I love to go out there and compete against the environment.
When you were younger, did you watch Fletch? You watch Fletch and Cox a lot?
I grew up watching Flex a little bit. You know, I definitely like the style of play.
But as far as the game itself, right, Jalen Hurts is a guy that, you know, running quarterbacks have you know, given this team some trouble. What are some of the things you guys could do better in order to try to contain Hurts?
I mean, just understanding lanes and just handling the assignments. That's what I think is better. And, you know, we're going to go out there.
And just to bring it back full circle, to the cheese steaks. I know it's the hood spots. Those are the best ones. But for the tourist folks, you know, where should they go?
I mean, go to Max's.
Go to Max's?
Yeah, Max's. Definitely.
There you have it right there.
I ain't going to hold you. Max's is the spot, man. And make sure when you order, you get the fried onions, salt, pepper, ketchup, man. Thank me later. The other thing that we have to look at with Hurts is just the way he – it's just you go man defense and DBs with their backs to the line of scrimmage. You know, by the time they realize that Hurts has broken the pocket – because remember, a lot of times what he likes to do is, you know, find that crease, get gone, and then he's in the secondary, and before the secondary guys can realize it, he's there. You know what I mean? Because they're so busy trying to plaster. Because that's the dilemma, right? When you're going against a quarterback that can extend plays the way Hurts can and extend plays to pass in addition to run, you're conditioned the whole time. Like, plaster is a word that when Christian Fulton, Roger McCreary, Elijah Molden, Trey Avery, who's played pretty well, by the way, Terrence Mitchell, when these guys go to sleep, they're going to hear plaster because it's getting impounded into their head over and over again, because that's what you have to do in weeks when you're facing a quarterback like this. So in doing that, you know, chances are your back is to the line of scrimmage. You don't see him, and before you know it, he's already taken off for 10 yards. So that's something that will dictate, you know, a lot as far as coverage is concerned. The Titans, you know, they'll go man from time to time. So another thing is being disciplined in the passing lanes. And I thought, you know, what Jeffrey Simmons had to say was really good. And after the game on Sunday, he told me that the communication was really breaking down and not being coordinated with their pass rush. He expanded upon that a little bit here and talking about facing Jalen Hurts.
I'm excited for the challenge. You know, we're coming off a tough loss, especially with the Bengals. You know, we didn't do a good job of containing the quarterback first, and also didn't do a good job of stopping the run. So that's what we need to start first. That's getting back to our identity, and that's stopping the run.
You mentioned Hurts. What is it about him that makes him so effective running the football?
I mean, he's elusive with it. He get guys, and I mean, I think the thing is, you see a lot of teams just let him go, and you know, he make that move and get right down the middle of your defense and or the field, and that's his strength. So he able to make guys miss, but it's also guys just not being coordinated, and that's what we talked about with Burrow last week. You know, when you got quarterback like that can move and around the pocket and want to get outside the pocket, especially if our cover guy doing a hell of a job taking his first read or whatever away. He looking to run and take off running. So I say when it comes down to stopping his running game, I mean, of course they got some quarterback run designed for him, but right. when you see on film, when guys get past him, that's what he wants. He wants you to get past him. He wants you to open them lanes up like that. So when it comes down to it, man, we just have to be on the same page up front.
And that's the thing. I love the point that Simmons makes, right? Because you think about it, you just have your ears pinned back and you're all about going to get the quarterback. And if there's a lane for him to step up and let you run right past him, you're taken out of the play. And that's the thing as far as being coordinated in your pass. You have to maintain your gaps when you're rushing the quarterback like Jalen Hurts. So he makes an excellent point there. But you know what? It's not just running the football that Jalen Hurts is effective. You know, this is a guy that could get the ball. You saw the touchdown, three touchdowns to A.J. Brown. They're all dropping the bucket type throws, you know, or ones where he's able to go up and catch it. I don't know if you saw the game last week, but that touchdown pass to Quez Watkins, who's another one you got to be careful with. He's a speedy dude. And Devontae Smith, the Grim Reaper, as they call him. But that throw to Quez Watkins was, man, he couldn't have stood over him and dropped it in his hands better. There's a lot of passing talent with him, too. I'm glad Mike Vrabel recognized that. This is Coach Vrabel talking about Jalen Hurts and just the big challenge that it is in facing him.
Play strength. You know, he's decisive. He's, I would say, fast enough. I don't think he's the fastest quarterback, but he's a strong runner. But he also has the ability to, you know, deliver from the pocket. You know, he'll keep plays alive going lateral. So, you know, this is a huge challenge.
That's it right there. I mean, it's a huge challenge that they'll be facing. And I can't wait to watch it, man. I cannot wait to watch it. So that's the Bengals game with a bow around it and spinning forward to the Titans, Eagles. We're going to go ahead and pay these bills. We'll be right back because it's time for Run TMC. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, DMC. For you, fresh.
Oh, they're coming. They're coming. Strings. Yeah. All right, here we go. I'm extra hyped this week, man.
Me too, Big Dow.
Coming to you live from the Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Starting at center. For your Philadelphia 76ers, number 55, Daryl Chocolate Thunder Dawkins.
And now, starring in the show Different Strokes, Gary Coleman.
What you talking about, Willis?
Hey, that's how we felt this last past weekend when the Titans played the Bengals. What you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, man, that was a tough game. Man, I thought they were going to win that one, honestly.
I did too, man. I did too.
The Bengals came into this game struggling to stop the run.
Yeah.
But Derrick Henry had 38 rushing yards. Let's talk about it.
Sure.
First things first.
Yeah.
Mike Hilton coming off the out of that nickel. They're run blitzing over and over again and him tackling Henry in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that?
You know, it's funny that you say that because everybody said, well, is Derrick Henry getting too many carries or he's struggling in the running game? You got to understand where the blitz is coming from. And right. When you're getting hitting in the backfield, I don't care if you're the O.J. Simpson. I don't care if you're the best back in the whole world.
Amen.
If you're getting hit in the backfield, that means your momentum can't go. And that's what we got to understand because they kept doing that and really understanding that if we can stop Derrick's momentum, then he can't get going. And when he's 17 for 38, when's the last time that Derrick Henry had 38 yards on 17 carries?
2018.
They were determined to definitely stop the run, TD.
Exactly. And in addition to that, she had Hilton coming off the edge. And, man, I'm telling you, man, every time I watch Cincinnati,
oh my God.
I come away like, man, Mike Hilton is that dude. That's a bad man because they blitz him also to, you know, impact the quarterback too. Remember the tip pass to himself that he had in the divisional game. We're going to leave that out of it though. One of the other things that they did in addition to that blitzing, they're covering up. You got that bare front, right? They're covering up the guard, center, guard trio right there. And then you got the linebackers behind them.
Yep.
So they're attacking and aligning in the gaps differently.
Yep.
From your perspective, what did that do?
You know what? Mike Vrabel said a quote. He said this. He said, we can't move them. I mean, and when he says that, that means they're getting no push, you know, on the line of scrimmage. You talk about, you know, getting to the gap. When you run the inside zone and outside zone, you're not running to a person.
Right.
You're running to a gap. And if you look at that situation, there was two and three guys in those gaps. So when you're looking at that situation, when they're covering those gaps with the front, then where is Derrick Henry supposed to run? Because when you run the outside zone, you're waiting, you make that one cut and go. But when you make that one cut and go, and they're in that B and C gap, how are you going to make an explosive play when somebody's in that gap?
Exactly. It's so much harder. And then in addition to stacking those gaps, like you got DJ Reader taking up two guys. Like they're trying to move him. They can't move him out of the way to set up that cutback lane. And then on top of that, you got Logan Wilson coming in, number 55, blitzing in those lanes, and then 57, too.
Yeah. You know, and you know what's so wild, too, TD, is, you know, I watched the body language of the Cincinnati Bengals from play one. And I know I'm kind of switching gears, but on offense, they were determined to play physical.
Mm-hmm.
And when they threw that little pass to how you pronounce the name? Pernine?
Samaje Perine.
Perine. When he stiffed armed David Long Jr.
Ooh.
And the sidelines going crazy, they were determined to. Ooh, yeah, mama, why, there go that man again.
Why you had to bring that up, man?
I know, but it set the tone. So when you got the offense to set the tone and say, you know what, we're going to play physical. Now it switches over and it runs over to the defense.
Yes.
Look how physical they were playing. Look at how physical Reader was playing. Look at how physical Hendricks was playing. Look at how physical that secondary was playing. Even though the Titans had a big play on the screen to Derrick Henry, they ran the screen a couple of more times, and they're 6 and 7 hats in the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they were determined to fly around the ball, and they were determined to be physical wherever the ball was, TD.
Absolutely. And Sam Hubbard, 94, he was, man,
dude,
listen.
Lord have mercy.
That whole front seven. And you could throw in Hilton, too. They were doing – and then you even had Jesse Bates coming up and cleaning up. There was just not going to be an opportunity for Henry to run. They just said, look, Derek is not rushing against us this week. So just cancel that. We're going to put our money on Josh Jacobs becoming the leading rusher in the league this week. And that's what happened. Of course, he rushed for 200 yards. That's a different conversation.
Right.
But let's switch it over, because one thing that did open up, and you saw that, and I love this play. I loved it because we talked about it. I got emotional a few weeks ago talking about it because I just, the whole fact of 1-on-1 on the outside and no safety, don't do that. But what did they do? Play action. Ryan Tannehill, he looked down the field.
Yep.
Treylon Burks had literally 0.5 yards of separation. But you know what he said? Man, you only live once.
Yeah.
He put that ball up there. Burks went up and snapped it out the air, got up.
Man.
And you know the part that I liked the most? He flexed on him.
Hey, flexed big time. But see, listen, you don't got me all hyped up in this thing. How dare you go man-to-man coverage with zero safeties? Zero safeties, TD?
Exactly.
Basically what you're saying is you're not better than me. You're saying, you stink. You're not a great wide receiver. That's why he was so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
He flexed on him, and he screamed. He spiked the ball real hard because he's like, wait a minute. Do you understand I went to Arkansas? Do you understand that I'm sick something and swole, and I can jump over a building and to catch the ball? Do you know that? That's why the emotion come out, because everybody was talking about what he can't do, and everybody's saying, you know what? All we got to do is play man-to-man, and he can't get open. That's why that cat was so emotional, dog.
Yep, I love it, man. I love seeing that. That made me, like, you know, you don't cheer, you know what I mean? But inside, like, I was like, you know what I mean? Just excited because it's about time that somebody took advantage of that. You know what I mean? And I don't have a horse in the race or anything,
right.
But I just loved seeing that, man. That being said, you had the hustle play. He was able to recover the Derrick Henry fumble in the end zone. I talked to Robert Woods, and he said that Treylon Burks, what he's doing, showing that they have playmakers in the offense, should bring confidence to the passing game. And he said it should open things up underneath for him. Elaborate on what your thoughts are.
You're right, because we always talk about a receiver taking the top off the defense, right? When you take the top off the defense, that means you're getting behind the safety. Now, when you get behind the safety, that means that safety has to stay in his third, a single high, and get up out of there. So now what happens if that safety gets out of there, you do play action, and who comes across on those deep crossing routes? Robert Woods.
Right.
And that's how you make your money. We call that – I coach football for Montgomery Bell Academy. We call that the world route. It's a post. You got a post by the number one wide receiver on the left, and then with a condensed split with the other receiver on the right or in the on the field. Field is the longest side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes all the way across, and there's that window where the quarterback can throw it wide because the safety's out of there.
Yeah, no doubt. We used to call that divide. It's the same concept, you know what I mean? Because that's what you're doing. You're dividing the secondary.
There you go.
So I love to see that. Well, what do you think of Treylon Burks overall, how he's breaking out? What are your thoughts there? The last two games, you look at him.
He's getting better, and he's. I mean, we all know he can catch the ball. We know he can make spectacular plays, but I never thought that it wasn't his ability.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it's just getting in shape and where the quarterback trusts you, and then you become that number one wide receiver. Because everybody knows he's got a great skill set, because he would have never got drafted in the first round if he didn't have a great skill set.
Right.
But now he's got to become a polished receiver. Yeah, you ran go routes. Now you run slants. but now it's time to run the whole route tree, because after you beat me once, they ain't gonna give you another deep route. So he's got to run the whole route tree and catch those curls and take it the distance. Catch those dig routes, take it the distance. Catch those slants, take it the distance. Catch those hitch, take it the distance. Then now that separates him from the rest.
I agree 100%. And that is the one thing that I wanted to see. You remember Seth Joyner from the Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was on his show on Monday, he was asking me about Burks. And I said, if there was one thing that I want to see, it's to see Treylon Burks start getting that yards after the catch. Because if you look at numbers, he was right there. He actually averaged more yards after a catch than A.J. Brown did in their last year in college. You know, 9.7 to 8.9. So it's a slight difference, but still it's more. Yeah. And I want to see that happen more often. And I think one of the things that will open that up, that play-action strike route.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like the Titans have gotten away from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason why they got away from it, because maybe the protection issues are on the line, maybe that could be, but and not really having full trust in the camaraderie with the quarterback and wide receiver, and maybe that could be, I don't know. But, you know, I don't kind of get off subject of it, but the one thing I want to see from Treylon Burks is I want to see one of those big boy plays. And when I say big boy plays, you remember, I think it was last year, I don't know if they were playing against the Ravens or the Jaguars, where A.J. Brown catches a slant and he gets like three or four people into the end zone.
You talking about the Ravens, and that was two years ago. He said Patrick Queen. Come on, man.
Yes.
Marcus Peters, guess you paid your bus fare. Come on, man. Anybody else want to come? Come on, you two. Come on. We going to the end zone, and that's what he did.
That's a big boy play. But,
yeah.
And I know Treylon Burks has caught some deep passes, but have we seen a big boy play yet?
Not yet.
That's the key.
And that's the one that you want to see. Mike Vrabel, check this out. Mike Vrabel said that the biggest improvement that he's seen in Treylon Burks is his attitude.
Oh.
Now, the week before, I talked to Treylon, and he said, man, I asked him, you know, what the difference has been. And he said, man, it's knowing my role, coming here to work, and never backing down, no matter what they put in front of me. When a coach says your biggest improvement is your attitude, A, does that mean at one point it wasn't good? Or and B, how do you take that and roll it forward?
You know, I think that it's all about maturity. You know, because when you come in and he says something so profound, it's talking about knowing your role. His role is different to where it was in Arkansas. Arkansas, he was the main focus of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Here, he's a great player, but you got a great player that's a running back, and he's the focal point of the whole offense. So basically what he said, as a mature receiver, I may not catch seven balls a game, but I know my role, and that's maturity. And that is a plus, 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 because he can go on and take and say, man, I'm not getting the ball, I ain't blocking nobody, this and that. That means you're not mature as a wide receiver. But when you say, I know my role, I may not catch 10 passes a game, I may catch two, but every play that they throw to me, I'm going to make it count. That's maturity, and that's a sign of a great player.
I'm not going to ask you whether or not they do miss him, because they do. I don't care what anybody says. They miss him. How much do the Titans miss A.J. Brown?
They miss him a lot, and I'm going to tell you the difference. I'm not comparing these two to A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks, but right now, Treylon Burks is a good player. He's a good catcher. He can make explosive plays. But A.J. Brown is a game changer. And when I say he's a game changer, look at when he went against the San Francisco 49ers. He took over the game. When he played the Colts, he took over the game. Treylon Burks has caught four passes for 70 yards last week. But I want to see him take over the game. That's the difference between Treylon Burks and A.J. Brown. And that's why I say we miss him, because he changes the game.
Is Treylon close to that point?
He's getting to that point, but I just think that once he runs a route tree better and does that, but also, you know, where the quarterback completely trusts him. I'm not saying he doesn't trust him, but completely trusts him to where I can throw the ball with my eyes closed and I know he's going to come up with the catch. That's where he's got to get.
What do you make of this game?
I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Titans can definitely beat them, and the reason why I beat the Philadelphia Eagles is because even though the Philadelphia Eagles are 10-1, I'm still not sold on them. And the reason why I'm not sold on them is because I look at them as a finesse team, And when you're dealing with a finesse team, going up against a team that wants to punch you in the mouth, you don't want to hit that Derrick Henry in the. You don't want to see Derrick Henry when he's coming downfield in the fourth quarter, and you got to tackle him with a one-bar face mask. They don't want to see that. So I just think that they got to come out, jump on him fast. Don't focus on what the defense doesn't need to focus on A.J. Brown so much that they give a big play to Devontae Smith or Sanders, the running back, or Watkins, the other wide receiver. Just play your game and hit them in the mouth, and they won't like it.
Yeah, excellent point. That's what Mike Vrabel said they need to do, get off to an early start. And I tell you what, seeing it firsthand, man, and we've talked about this in other situations, when you introduce a team to a heavy workload of Derrick Henry, a heavy helping, a dosage of Derrick Henry, it tends, and it's working well, it tends to take the crowd out of it. And that's exactly what they have to do at Lincoln Financial Field.
Oh, but man, just imagine having a 15-play drive, taking 9 minutes off the clock, and having Derrick Henry run through your face on the 1 yard line. That takes the fans out of it, and it's demoralizing. If they can do that 3 or 4 times, let's go get the W, dog.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. I can't wait to catch up with AJ. And also, man, to go home, man, I'm looking forward to this.
Bring me one of them sandwiches back.
Hey, listen. That thing won't pass TSA, boy. They so lethal.
Well, TD, man, hey, man, I appreciate you, my man. And, hey, you the man.
Hey, you know what? Before we get out of here, I'm just saying, Trent Dilfer went to, you know, UAB.
Oh.
Tyrone Hill, Tlipscomb, I wouldn't be mad at it. I'm just saying.
Man, get off my phone, man.
Hey, Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports. When it comes to sports, it's all happening right now. Football, basketball, hockey, and now the World Cup. And there's no better place to wager on all of it than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy winning some money. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. When I wore the ass tomorrow, y'all thought it was ready.
I want to let that music play, but I'm going to mess around and run through a wall. So we're going to go ahead and fade that out. And it's about time to go to the Sarah Chevrolet GMC Buick of Nashville hotline, and we're gonna bring in my guy, man. We worked together side by side for a couple years there in Philly. You hear the music, man, so you know we're going to the 215. Bring in my guy Tim McManus, ESPN NFL Nation Eagles reporter. Tim, what's going on, man?
What's happening, TD? So they're playing Dreams and Nightmares out at Titans practice, huh?
Yeah. I said, well, hot dog. I guess they're really trying to make themselves feel at home at the link, but you know, in order to do that, you're going to have to drop the temperature a little bit and add a lot more excitement because the crowd there really gets it going.
It's going to be an intense atmosphere for this one, man. I really can't wait. I mean, just looking ahead towards the schedule over the past few weeks, like I've had this Titans game circled. And this was even before, like as I was before the Eagles got their first loss against the Commanders. I'm like, where could that first one come? And I kept stopping at Tennessee because of, like, the physical nature that they have, you know, the strong running game that they have, how soundly coached they are. And so there is always the intrigue of, like, how would this style of fight match up with Philadelphia? And then, of course, you know, A.J. Brown against his old team, man. I mean, what else can we ask for?
Yeah, and that's the big thing. You know, A.J. is obviously going to be the big story. I mean, that was the big thing that happened, right? With both of these teams, it was franchise altering, right? You look, Jalen Hurts gets a premier receiver, and lo and behold, we finally see, hey, this guy is a legit quarterback. In fact, he's an MVP candidate. So I love that in itself. And then you look at the Titans, you know, struggling a bit, but now you got Treylon Burks emerging. So it's like both things are peaking at the same time. So I guess let's start with this. What type of energy has AJ brought to Philadelphia, brought to the Eagles?
Well, he's definitely got, you know, this confidence about him that, and combine that with the talent, you know, is rubbing off on the rest of the guys. I think that he's been really good for Jalen Hurts. And, you know, we see that the product of that on the field where, as you say, Hurts is having an MVP-like campaign. He's completing 67.6% of his passes. That's up a full 6 points from a year ago. So we're seeing all of that. But I also feel like, you know, the comment that Brown made to me that has really resonated is because Brown is his, you know, it's his best friend, and because he has his back so strongly, it's allowed Hurts to kind of move the way that he wants to move. I thought that was really interesting because here's like a young quarterback who's now in the center of the circle as the primary leader. And I think the fact that he has somebody like Brown of that stature being his best friend by his side has helped elevate Hurts to where he is. And so it's nothing, I mean, you've been around Brown. It's nothing but positive energy, good vibes. It's been pluses kind of all across the board for this team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And even on the field, you see just – I think the Lions game was a good example. He had, I was like, 13 targets, 10 receptions. But when stuff was starting to go left, they said, okay, you know what? We're just going to go to 11. Just keep giving him the football. Keep giving him the football, and good things happen. When you just look at the way he's been integrated into the offense – how would you say Nick Sirianni and the crew have done as far as like making sure that he gets his targets? He is an emotional receiver, so you got to make sure you get him checked in early. Mm-hmm. How would you say they've done with that?
Yeah, I think they generally have done a good job. I mean, so there are a lot of mouths to feed in this offense. It's, you know, you Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama. You know, you have to make sure he gets his touches. Dallas Goedert, before he went down with a shoulder injury, one of the premier tight ends. And so you have to make sure that you're distributing equally among them. And as Nick Sirianni always says, like, the passing offense runs through those three players. But I don't think there's any doubt, like, who the lead guy is. And I think that's a great way to put it. Like, when things start getting a little tight, there's a primary option, and that's A.J. Brown. And I think one of the big reasons where he complements Hurts is, you know, has been over the middle, kind of like the short, let him run after the catch type deals. Just that security blanket that is helped Hurts in basically every kind of form. And so, and Brown, one thing that he's really working on is trying to get more consistency in his game. He was dealing with an illness last week. He wasn't at his best. He had a key fumble. He's had fumbles in consecutive games. He's kind of down on himself for that, but generally I feel like they've done a nice job of kind of distributing the ball and making sure that he stays engaged and that he's fed properly.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and that's important to do. But as you said, there's more to this offense than just A.J. Brown, and I think Jalen Hurts, and it's crazy because in talking to Jeffrey Simmons, Bud Dupree, a lot of the guys, the thing that they're really concerned about, like, A.J.'s going to be A.J. They know that's going to be a tough matchup, but they're concerned about what Jalen Hurts is able to do, not only as a runner, but I love this part, as a passer. How has he evolved to be able to be what he calls a triple threat, right? He hurts you with his mind, his legs, and his arm.
You know, I think one thing that we underestimated was the importance of him being in the same system for a second consecutive year, because he hasn't had that luxury. You have to go all the way back to when his dad was his coach in high school to find the time where that happened. And speaking with his quarterback's coach, Brian Johnson, he said that he is a highly, highly intelligent football player, and that he sees his quote was, he sees the puzzle of 22 very well. Hmm. He just needed to see it a little bit more. In other words, like, all right, let me go through this one time and see against, let's run this play against this defense. And let me see it. But once he sees it, he absorbs it. He knows what to do and where to go with the football. So now that he's in the second system under Sirianni and offensive coordinator Shane Steichen, he's seeing the picture extremely well. That added with the fact that, Ron, nobody works harder than Jalen Hurts. I mean, he goes crazy on it. He doesn't do anything else but obsess over football. And he went down to Southern Cali in the offseason. He worked on his mechanics to get that aspect of his game right. The combination of that, plus gifted with a really strong offensive line and the weapons that we just talked about, highlighted by A.J. Brown. I mean, that's a combination for Hurts to go off. And, you know, he came into this season like, is he the guy? You know, can he really ascend as a passer? Or are the Eagles going to use those two first-round picks to go get somebody in this quarterback-rich draft class in April? And, like, that conversation has halted because Hurts is putting on an MVP-like show, and he can do it all. And I understand why defenses are worried about him. There's a lot to worry about. He can beat you any which way right now.
Yeah, that's crazy. And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Eagles reporter Tim McManus. Let's finish it off, Tim, with the offensive line. And I can't wait to see Big Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce. I mean, these guys have just managed to be at the top of their game for so long. I mean, you talk top right tackles. If you don't mention Lane Johnson's name, you need to have your face slapped. You talk best centers. If you don't mention Jason Kelce's name, you need to be slapped. So what is it that these guys have done just to still at this age, you know, continue to play so well?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it, they're obviously, they're just, you know, like Kelce's Hall of Fame caliber. Johnson is as you rightly say, one of the best tackles in the game. So they have that ability. And I would say the other thing that they have going for them is Jeff Stoutland, their offensive line coach. You know, the way that they talk about him, like Jordan Mailata, when he's introduced on Sunday Night Football, he says that he's from Jeff Stoutland University. You know, like they just like have a great deal of reverence and respect for the guy who's been their teacher for so long. And he predates Nick Sirianni. He goes back all the way to the Chip Kelly days. So you obviously know what the organization thinks of him. And he's also the run game coordinator.
Right.
But they're just, you know, this franchise believes very heavily in investing in the offensive and defensive fronts. That's been there since the Andy Reid days. That's continued on to present day, and it really helps them. It's what sustains them. You know, it's what largely makes them relevant year after year, even when they have, you know, different quarterbacks that come in and whatever the situation is. You know, they're solid up front, and they continue to invest in that. And they got, you know, I think an envy of a lot of teams around the league and the amount of depth and quality that they have in that offensive line. And Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, definitely leading the charge on that one.
Tim, I want to draw a couple nuggets from you just in regards to Andre Dillard. And obviously this is pushing the ball way down the line into, you know, February, March, free agency. Left tackle, a high draft pick, first round draft pick, Jordan Mailata. I know Jeff Stoutland loved him, made him his project, and that helped, you know, elevate things. Is he someone that you think could go to another franchise and become a cornerstone left tackle, specifically the Titans?
Cornerstone, I want to stop short of.
Okay.
But like a starting left tackle, yeah. Like a competent starting left tackle, I think the answer to that is yes. I know that before he got hurt when he was in the competition for that left tackle spot with Mailata a couple off seasons ago, but the coaches, I think the media had a different perspective on it. Like, all right, this definitely looks like Mailata's job, but you know, internally, you know, they seem to be very high on what Dillard was doing. I think that early on in his career, he was a little bit too consumed with what people were saying about him on the outside. You know, he had to kind of shut down the social media. He had to get more of tunnel vision, you know, maybe toughen up a little bit. And I think those things have happened over his maturation process here in the NFL. There's no doubt that he is gifted. And even now we're starting to see a little bit of versatility with him. You know, there one of the primary things is like he switched over to right tackle one time and it was just really, really bad. And like they're like, all right, you're just left tackle from now on. But now he went in this last game and he played a little left guard for them. So he's showing a little bit more position versatility. I think that, you know, like if I were a team in the market for a left tackle, like I would be looking in the direction of Andre Dillard. I believe that we just established he's been well coached here. And I think that he's got ability to, you know, to be a solid left tackle in this league.
Bookmark it. Let's flip it to the other side. I mentioned Angel's Wonders on the offensive line. Well, Brandon Graham, good old BG. He's another one. You got Fletcher Cox still doing it. What's with the defensive line? How are these guys continuing to get the job done?
I think it's helped now that they, you know, they have depth, which has been good for them. There was a period where Jordan Davis went out on the interior, and the mileage for Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave really went up, and that wasn't good for anybody, or the production wasn't sustainable, and they knew it. And they went out and they got Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, and then you see all of a sudden where Cox is playing fewer reps, his production really goes up, and he had probably what was arguably his best game of the year against the Packers on Sunday Night Football. And then, and then they have different guys that can attack you from the edge as well. Like Brandon Graham just has that knack for showing up in big moments. You know, mm-hmm. we know that certainly from Super Bowl 52, and he's done it again, you know, in spots this year. Hassan Reddick has come in and given them a nice pass rush overall, and then they're complemented on the other side with Josh Sweat. And so, as I said, they invested that in along that defensive front to run. And yeah, those guys, I mean, that feels like where they always want to be at their best is along those fronts. And I think that every game they go in, they feel like they, you know, they have the depth necessary and they have the quality necessary to compete with any team in the NFL.
That Hassan Reddick acquisition, I know AJ was the big one, but that one, it seems like, has brought a similar level of energy and swagger to the defense. So I definitely want to shout out the Camden native, right, and Temple yes, University, sir. Our former player there. So I really like how, you know, just from afar, it seems like he's brought a charge to that defense. Another guy is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. What are they missing with him? And you got the MTSU right up the street here, you know, in Blankenship starting.
Yeah, that's huge. It's a really big loss for the Eagles. I mean, he's the league leader in interceptions with 6 before he goes down and really brought a playmaking aspect to Jonathan Gannon's defense. I mean, going into this season, it was like across the board agreed upon that the weakest position, the most questionable position, was safety. Heading into the regular season until they traded for Gardner Johnson in late August. And then people were like, all right, well that looks solidified. And in fact, it was solidified. And even Marcus Epps, the guy who's running opposite him, has taken a step up in his game. And that has really helped as well. And Blankenship came in when Gardner Johnson went down with that lacerated kidney and he got an interception of Aaron Rodgers, you know, mm-hmm. two defensive snaps before that. And he came in and had a really nice pick on Rodgers, but he was also, you know, up and down in that performance, as you would expect as an undrafted rookie. And so now here's a longer stretch, and you're probably going to be without Gardner Johnson for a handful of games, where they're really going to have to sustain. And here comes King Henry into town, and they're going to have to be right on their fits and on they have to in their spatial awareness and all that kind of stuff. And that's not going to be as easy. So I think that, you know, Tennessee is catching the defense at a vulnerable time. Jordan Davis seems like he's coming back into the lineup, but who knows what he's going to be looking like coming off of a high ankle sprain. Avante Maddox is still on IR with a hamstring, their slot cornerback. And so they're more vulnerable than they have been at some key spots. And I think, you know, that could be beneficial for Tennessee.
That's really interesting. I didn't. So you think there's a good chance? You feel there's a good chance that Jordan Davis is back for this one?
Yeah. So he is eligible to come off of IR this week. He was at walkthrough on Wednesday, and he's been, you know, kind of as he's going around the facility, we've seen him jogging, things like that. And so I think he could be coming back maybe more in spot duty. They have the benefit of having Linval Joseph in the building, so it's not like he would have to play a ton of snaps in his first game. But, yeah, I could see him potentially playing in this game.
Big boost. You put that mountain of the man inside that defensive line. This is going to be a game, man. I can't wait. Like I said, I'm looking forward to getting back home, man. We'll definitely have to catch up. I always, every time I hear that song that we introed with, man, and I was telling David, I said, if you only could feel the energy in that locker room after the Super Bowl when this song came on, I mean, it was enough to charge a whole city.
Oh, yeah. Or when it was played before the NFC Championship game against Minnesota.
What did I tell you, David? What did I tell you?
You literally talked about that too. It's
exactly.
Insane.
Man, Corey Clement and LeGarrette Blount, I just love reliving that with somebody else who has been there because you can share the goosebumps, man. So I'm not going to keep holding you. I could keep you till tomorrow talking about this stuff, man. So I know you got a family and a job to take care of, man. So I appreciate you. I can't wait to catch up on Sunday.
I'll always carve time out for you, Teron. And, yeah, Philly misses you, man. Can't wait till you're back and looking forward to catching up with you this weekend.
No doubt, man. Appreciate you.
All right, man. See ya.
So that was Tim McManus giving you your information in regards to the Eagles, man. I like what he said about Andre Dillard. I know that's down the line, but that is something that I think we're going to have to pull back and play come free agency time, because he is a guy I think the Titans should look at. Not a high-cost free agent, but a guy that will fill a gap, and I think he would be better than Dennis Daly, but that's just me. We'll see what happens there. But anyhow, appreciate Tim coming on and talking some shop. Looking forward to catching up with him. Hey, man, we got into it as well with Chris Sanders, you know, talking some A.J. Brown, Treylon Burks, and Derrick Henry. That's a trio right there, but it's always good talking shop with good old Tyrone Hill. We'll see what happens there as far as Lipscomb Academy is concerned. No, I think he's going to remain at NBA and coach those receivers. But anyhow, shout out to Chris as well. Shout out to David James making this thing happen, man. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, man, coming in and each week, man, putting this time in. That doesn't go unrecognized. So thank you for that. And yeah, we got a lot going on, man. It's Eagles week. I'm going to be all over Philadelphia media. So my listeners in the 215, man, definitely stay tuned. You'll catch me all over the place. As for you folks here, you know where to find us. ESPN.com. Check out that Titans page. Got a Treylon Burks story up. So make sure you check that out. And yeah, man, Whiteboard Wednesday. We got AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts featured in there. This is what we do, man. Never stop recording. That's my mindset, and that's what we're going to continue to do. Appreciate the support. Make sure you check us out. Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Talking with TD. Search, subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.